Can you tell? Do you know why I'm excited? Something's coming. What's coming? Can anyone tell me? Oh yeah, Christmas, right. I was thinking about The Hobbit, exactly, which opens tomorrow. Christmas, yes. Speaking of Christmas, why don't you, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We've already heard this story, but I'm just going to read a little part of it again this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all people on whom his favor rests." Father, we thank you for this promise this morning, for these words, and for the season that we're in. I pray we just turn our hearts and our minds to you for a few moments as we look at your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to narrow in on these words that the angel speaks to the shepherds this morning. This angel, of course, is a little different from the one that we saw over the past couple of days here at the Hollywood. Did anyone come and see the show, It's a Wonderful Life? What was the angel's name? Clarence. Clarence the angel. I'm not sure if this angel's name was Clarence, but it's a little... do I need to move this? It's a little different from Clarence, who comes as a 220-year-old. So the angel appears, and what are the angel's first words to the shepherds? Anybody? What are the first words? "Do not be afraid." It's a fairly obvious thing for the angel to say to the shepherds at this point. I'm sure that if an angel appeared among us this morning, if you were just minding your own business, doing your thing, and an angel appeared in the sky in front of you, you would probably be wanting to make sure, or you'd be hoping that you were wearing your brown trousers that morning, or the brown bed sheet, as it were, in the case of the shepherds. Why is it that, although I think in our video, the shepherds weren't wearing bed sheets, maybe just on their heads. That seems pretty standard attire for shepherds in the first century, leftover bed sheets. And anyone here, as you may know, if you've heard me preach a few times, will have heard me say this before. But I think this is really important, because what this angel says to the shepherds, I think, goes a little deeper than just addressing the shepherds' fear. There's something powerful about this angel's first words to us this morning, to humanity, to these shepherds this morning. On the occasion of Christ's birth, there's something incredibly powerful about these words which have been recorded for us down through history. And I think it goes a little deeper than just addressing the shepherds' fear. So if you've heard me preach a few times, you'll have already heard this, but this one's for the visitors, okay? How many of you know what the most frequent command in the Bible is? Do not be afraid, of course. It's obvious, because I just set it up that way. I find it a powerful statement to us that this command, "Do not be afraid," is the most frequent one in the Bible. It's not simply "thou shalt not," you know, or "stop being naughty," or "be a better person." It's not that. It's "do not be afraid," and this is incredibly powerful. Seems a strange thing to command, though, doesn't it? And yet not so strange when you consider how much there is in the world to be afraid of. We live in a world where basically it's fear that sells the news, isn't it? You've been watching the news lately. There's a lot of fear going around. And for good reason. The fear runs deep in our consciousness. This world is a dangerous place, and a lot of us live in fear of some terrible accident, or of violence, or of war, or of disease, or fear of economic disaster, or of not having enough money to retire on, or fear of something terrible happening to our children, or fear of spiders, or fear of death, which if you're from where I'm from, spiders and death pretty much go hand in hand. There's a lot to be afraid of, and I wonder how many of us have made crucial kind of future-shaping decisions on the basis of the things that we're afraid of. So fear is pervasive, but let me tell you this morning, there's good news for us that it's not God's will that we should live under the tyranny of fear. That's why God reminds us over and over again throughout the Bible from beginning to end that we do not need to let fear be our master, do we? There's a better way to live. There's a more hopeful way to live. There's a way to live that's filled with joy and peace instead of fear and terror. So we're not created to be the slaves of fear, but the Bible tells us that the promise of God, which is at the heart of the Christmas story, is that Christ has come into the world to be our liberator, to liberate us from the things that want to enslave us, including the power of fear. Christ came among us to rescue us from fear, from sin, from death, to make us the children of God, and to demonstrate the power of his love. And as we know, one of my favorite promises in the Bible is this, and shout it out if you know it, God's perfect love casts out all fear. God's perfect love casts out all fear. That's our promise this Christmas. So I think it's telling that these first words that God speaks to us via his angel on the occasion of the birth of Christ are these powerful, powerful words, do not be afraid. Why don't we need to be afraid? Because, as the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. So it may be the bad news that wins out on the television each night, but from God's point of view, it's the good news that will win out in the end. Amen? It's the good news that will be established forever. That's what the angel's announcing. There's a lot of bad news, but our promise this Christmas is that it's the good news that will win in the end. That's why Christ came among us, and this good news liberates us and the whole world from our need to be afraid. It liberates us from the power of death, for that's why Jesus came. He came down into our world, took on human flesh, suffered and died, but rose up again from the grave and established his throne. That's why the angel says he's come to be the Lord. He established his throne over all history, over all humanity, over this whole creation, so that we have a hopeful future, so that we know that the end of the story is a good one, so that we know that in the end Christ will come and the angels will sing again and all things will be made new. That's a good promise this morning, isn't it? That's why we don't need to be afraid, because today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This Savior is God come among us. And what's the sign? What does the angel say the sign will be? You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in an animal feed trough, surrounded by some of the poorest folks that you can imagine. I remind myself of this, or try to, every Christmas, because it takes a while for this to get through my thick skull and blow my mind again. What's at the heart of this scene, this promise, this occasion? You see, God could have come among us in any way he chose to, couldn't he? God could have come among us in any way he chose, but he chose this. He chose to come among us as a baby in weakness and vulnerability amongst the poor. He chose the lowest point on the social ladder to enter into this world. In an occupied country. And not long after his birth, his parents and Jesus had to flee to Egypt as refugees to escape violence. Why does God come into the world like this? Why doesn't he come in power and glory? Why doesn't he come with a royal procession? Why does the angel say, the sign to you will be a baby lying in a manger? in a food trough, an animal feed trough, in a stable, and all that the stable represents, and among the poorest of the poor. Partly, I think the problem is that we, for the most part, wealthy Westerners have a hard time seeing this, because we're a minority in the world, and in fact, in this occasion in human history. For most people throughout the world and throughout history have had to live pretty much hand to mouth. Life has not been an abundance of prosperity for most people. So this story actually connects with the story that most people live in the world. This story connects with those folks for whom life is hand to mouth, for whom they live in poverty, they live in the midst of fear, they live in the midst of suffering, and they're very, very vulnerable. So God chooses to come among us in this way because that's how most people in this world experience life on a day-to-day basis. That's why God chooses to come among us like this, so that he doesn't come from the top down, but he comes and meets us from the bottom up. So that he can come down into our world and experience what it's actually like to suffer, what it's like to live in a world surrounded by fear, what it's like to actually die, because we know that Jesus, at the end of his life, suffered death on the cross. God comes among us in this way to actually experience what life is like for most people, so that he doesn't force us then to bow the knee to him in submission to the overwhelming power of his might, but he meets us face to face. He looks us in the eye and he says, I've come to you. I don't expect you to have to find your way to me, but I've come to you this morning. I've come to meet you and look you in the eye and tell you that I am with you and I am for you, and it is my desire that my favor might rest on you. That's why God comes among us as a baby in vulnerability and weakness, so he can meet us at our level. And that is good news, because there's no way that any of us can ever raise ourselves up to God's level, so instead he chooses to bring himself down to ours. That's a powerful, powerful statement of just how much God loves us. And this story is unlike any other story this world has ever known, that the story of Christmas is about God choosing to take on our pain, our suffering, our situation, and look us in the eye and say, I'm with you, I'm for you. I've come here to liberate you from the power of sin, from the power of death, to forgive you, to restore you, to give you a future and a hope, and to set you free from fear so that you do not need to be afraid. You with me? Isn't that good news this morning? And this promise leads us then to peace, doesn't it? Because if you've got nothing that you need to be afraid of, then your life will be established in peace. And where there's peace, there's joy. And when your life is established in joy, then you know that no matter what happens, you will always stand on a firm foundation. Because Christ is the rock that cannot be shifted. And he wants to establish you, all of you, on the firmness and the stability of his own life. This morning, he is for you, not against you. He doesn't want you to live as a slave to fear, but he wants to liberate you so that you can know that you're a child of God, and you can be filled with his love, and his spirit can empower you, and you can know that his love will cast out all of your fear. This is what Jesus says, which we heard earlier during the Advent reading in John 14. I need to stand near the light so that I can actually see. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let me read that to you again, because this is our promise at Christmas. Peace I leave with you. Who needs some peace this Christmas? Peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. In other words, this is a divine gift that cannot be earned or cannot be found in any other thing except Christ himself. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What have we got to fear? Nothing, because this life that Christ gives, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. This life that Christ gives will endure even through death, because that's the way it was for Jesus. He went through death, but he rose up again on the third day to new life, to resurrection life, and that's the promise that we all have here this morning as well, that even in our deaths, his life will endure, and we will be established forever just as he is. That's good news this morning. And that's why at the end the angels praise God with this great song, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all people on whom his favor rests." You know, that last statement could be read as an exclusive one. Peace on earth to all whom his favor rests. Maybe you're wondering this morning if his favor rests on you. I don't think it's meant to be an exclusive statement. It's meant to be an inclusive one, because I believe it's God's desire that his favor might rest on anyone who calls out to him. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His desire is that his favor might rest on you. That's his promise to you in Christ Jesus. So you can ask whatever you need to ask for this Christmas. If you need to be liberated from fear, if you need to know what it's like to be filled with the life of Christ, you can ask God this morning. He is listening to you. It is his desire that his favor might rest on you. And all of you are called to be included in these promises. And all you have to do is ask for Jesus to help you to put your trust in him. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible is this: "Jesus, I believe, help me in my unbelief." I think I pray that prayer just about every day. That's the only prayer we need to pray. "Jesus, I believe, help me in my unbelief." If you pray that prayer this Christmas, God will hear you and he will answer you. I believe that in Jesus' name. So here's a final provocative question for you to ponder this Christmas season. You ready? Here's a provocative question to get you thinking. I hope you remember this one. Here it is. I wonder how your life would be different if you didn't choose, if you didn't make your decisions based on any kind of fear. I wonder how your life would be different if fear didn't influence your decisions. I wonder how freedom from fear might change the course of your life. We have a promise here this morning. "Do not be afraid," the angel said, "for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." Let's pray. Father, I ask for your blessing, your favor, to rest on all of us who cry out to you this morning. You're so good to us, Lord. Your love endures forever. That's the promise of Christmas. That you didn't leave us to our own devices. You didn't just leave this world to its own fate. But you've entered in. Not from the top down, but from the bottom up. You came among us as a baby in vulnerability and weakness, so that we might know, as Hebrews tells us, that we have a God who can sympathize with us, because he knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be poor. He knows what it's like to die. And yet, we have this great hope, because in the resurrection of Jesus, we have this promise that the life that God has established among us, the beginning of Christmas, will endure forever. The promises of God will hold fast. So Lord, we hold on to you this morning. We look to you. For anyone here this morning that would like to know you, would like to follow you, would like to know what it means to enter into these promises, I pray for them this morning in Jesus' name. That as they reach out to you, they will find that you have already been reaching out to them. But as they pray, "Lord, help me. Lord, set me free from fear. Lord, I want to know you. I want to put my trust in you." As they do that, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will find you. Because our promise is that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And you always have, and you always will. In Jesus' name, amen.